Welcome to Surf Sessions. Jeff Clark came to the CoastSiderRadio.com studios on December 17th, 2015, to chat with Michelle Dragony. He had just returned from the North Shore, where he participated in a big wave risk assessment course with 60 other big wave first responders. Michelle ran the volunteers for Mavericks Invitational for 3 years.
Last week I was in Hawaii participating in a big wave risk assessment group, and it was formed after Sion Molaski lost his life here at Mavericks, and Danilo Couto, Liam, and Brian Kealana of the Hawaiian Water Patrol really worked together in educating surfers, big wave surfers, in the risks and how to keep people safe. So this class was held at the Turtle Bay Resort on the North Shore. There were 60 attendees, and it's really good to see how many people are really hungry to learn about how to be safer in big surf. Also at the group was Kirk Crack and Craig Gentry from Performance Freediving International, and they did a breath-holding series the first and second days. And after those 2 days, they had all 60 guys in that room holding their breath for 3 minutes. And it was really, really good. We did a drill out in the water where you're always working with a spotter. Mm-hmm. Because if you pass out in water, you might drown. So whenever you're training, that's the number one thing they got through everybody's head. Whether you're running rocks in the bottom of a pool or in a lagoon, always have a spotter, because a shallow water blackout can strike at any time. But what was really fun with these guys is they took us all out into the water. They had us doing the steps of breathing and how to do scales, like you would do scales for singing, bottom to top, and training your body to breathe in different scales of CO2 tolerance and anxiety when you're holding the breath, and how to overcome those things. It was a lot of fun. One of the processes we did in the water was holding your breath and having your spotter act it like a wave. And so he was ripping you around in the water while you're trying to hold your breath, standing on you on the bottom. I mean, doing the alligator roll, twisting you around. So it was a lot of fun. And
it does sound like fun.
It was funny because I had harder time holding my breath in the static where you're just being still.
Interesting.
It was easier being thrashed around because that's actually normal.
Right. That's what you're used to.
But the Big Wave Risk Assessment Group was compiled of the guys, the Maui boys, Skull Base from Maui, Ian Walsh and his brother, and that crew. And they did some of the water patrol for the JAWS event, which was an amazing event.
Just watch that.
I mean, when you've got eight of the best guys in the world that don't even catch a wave, that's how challenging Peahi was.
Yeah, it was a great contest.
So it was good to get back over there. It had been like almost 8 years since I'd been in Hawaii. And, man, it just made me realize how much family and friends I have over there.
Oh.
And I really missed them. And it was good to spend some time.
Do you watch any of the contests, sunset?
Yes, every morning before our class started, we'd run down and try and catch the first heat of the sunset contest. And one of the standout waves that I saw at the event was this guy on a green board take off way outside sunset and drops in, pulls up, gets barreled, comes across the inside section, pulls up, gets barreled again, and could spit out the end. And, you know, when you know it, it's Garrett McNamara from Portugal over here, chasing some surf. It was really good to hang out with KLE. When everybody came over from the North Shore chasing the swell after the JAWS event, we had five people staying at the house. We had Danilo, Couto, Emmy Erickson, KLE, Mamala, and Garrett McNamara.
Oh, how fun. Surf party.
And, they're some driven people, man. They were out the door at 5:30, getting their gear ready and out in the water.
Yeah, I was bicycling to work, and I saw them with their jet skis at the boat ramp. That's pretty exciting. So what kind of water safety do we do locally for Titans and Mavericks?
We've been training with Titans Mavericks. I'm kind of the water marshal for the Titans of Mavericks event. I've been the water marshal or contest director since 98 when we first established a first competition here at Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that you really have to have a watchful eye. You can't let anything slip through the cracks. on the big events. And even when we've had some of the best water patrol here in the world, Mavericks will always surprise you, and somebody won't come up for two waves, and somebody will miss seeing that. We're not going to let that happen anymore. We've got the best. We've got Adam Rapogle, Vince Broglio, Alistair Kraft. I'm going to be on that crew. We've had, and they've been on the crew since the beginning. So we've really had guys that have done the Mavericks competition for well over 10 years.
Wow.
And they know actually how to surf Mavericks.
Right.
They've all surfed Mavericks.
Right.
So they know that timing. They know where they can and cannot go.
Right.
And it's so important to have calm rescue personnel.
Right.
Calm. You know,
that takes training, doesn't it?
That takes training, and it takes a maturity in big surf.
Right.
That if you're not in it every day, you don't have it.
And are most of the water patrol people, are they older?
They're all in their 30s plus.
Right. Yeah, decade of experience at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's I'm really confident with the team that we've assembled.
Right. Are the authorities allowing more jet skis to keep surfers safe in the area? I know there were some issues with that.
We'll see. That's an ongoing process.
Right.
I think that every time Mavericks breaks, you should have watercraft in the ocean out there.
Right.
Because we did some scenarios in this big wave risk assessment group where three guys got hurt in the bowl at Mavericks, and the obstacle we were given was no watercraft.
Wow.
So we had to rescue people with a dislocated shoulder from half a mile offshore with no motorized equipment.
Crazy.
And we had one person that was unconscious, and we were not able to get that person across that lagoon in less than five minutes. And so without watercraft at Mavericks, being able to assist transportation to the beach.
Right.
Every time Mavericks breaks, those people that are surfing out there, their lives can
Absolutely.
Be at risk.
What's always so amazing that I think about, that you did that all by yourself for 15 years.
Well, when you're doing anything by yourself, you are so careful. I mean, you don't do anything cavalier.
Right.
It is very calculated. You know you're going to make the wave before you ever catch it.
Right.
And, you know, there's always the unexplained that might take you down, but you've gone through that process in your head as well.
Right.
But
you think you'll be surfing Mavericks on Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day, I don't think so. Unless I'm a little healthier than I am right now, I might.
Right. Thanks. You came in to talk with me and you got a pretty nasty cold. I appreciate that, Jeff.
But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this season, and it's going to be really dicey trying to get the storms and that perfect day to line up. And you have all the blackout dates.
I was going to say, and the blackout dates.
Blackout dates between the Air Force, the county agencies, that, you know, this is holiday season. Everybody's cashing in on their seniority and their time off. So,
right.
So we're stuck with that. And for surfers, there are no days off. The days off are when the ocean's flat as a lake.
That's
when our day off is. Something that I started a few years back was, when in 2010 they banned the jet skis at Mavericks,
right.
Banned the watercraft at Mavericks. And it was up until that point, from the time Mark Fu died, I started the Mavericks Water Patrol. And at that point, I got all the big wave surfers, or as many as I could get, trained in use of jet skis for water rescue. From 94 till 2010, actually 2011, we had no incidents at Mavericks. There were no deaths at Mavericks. Mark Fu kind of woke us up, said, we need to have water rescue here all the time. After 2010 was a giant contest, and we had skis for the event, and we had some people that thought they were going to die, for sure. But the water patrol was out there, and we got them. The next year, Jacob Tretti drowns and is found floating inside the lagoon by a kayaker.
Yeah, by Matt Grizan.
By Matt Grizan. And he sees a ski, and Frank and Russell were on the ski coming in looking for broken boards. Well, Matt found Jacob Tretti floating in the lagoon, pulled him up onto his kayak, and when he saw those guys, he flagged him down. And Russell, the firefighter from Australia, picked him up, got him to the beach, and was working on him. They called 911. They saved his life.
Amazing.
And, I mean, to be able to get him to the beach where you could work on him, that was key to him living.
Yeah.
And then the following year, Mavericks is booming. And, you know, we're sitting here wondering why Noah hasn't made it a high surf warning. The waves were 50, 60 feet. And unfortunately, Sion Molaski drowns a year later. And there was only one ski in the water, and it was a photographer, and they didn't have a rescue sled, and, you know, they were not trained in water rescue. Mm-hmm. So Sion Molaski disappears and is found, and it's too late.
Yeah.
So between 94 and 2011, we had no incidents because we had skis in the water. We were watching out for each other. It made a difference. And it wasn't any monetary strain off of any of the agencies, the county. We took care of our people. And it's really interesting because to take care of people in the ocean, you have to have people know the ocean. And if you don't know the ocean, if your life isn't out there in those waves, you have no idea how to do a water rescue in giant surf.
Oh, yeah.
And you become a victim. It was seen in the Piahi event that there were some guys out there that shouldn't have been out there. There were some guys from the fire department that kind of politically they had to use them. And they lost their skis on the rocks, and it became, I don't know, I felt bad for the Walsh brothers and Skull Base and those guys that do the water patrol at Piahi to have to have that stuff forced into their situation where they couldn't really, you could see the frustration. You know, if you don't do this every day because you check your ego at the door and let the guys that do it every day do it.
Join CoastSiderRadio.com for another Surf Sessions when Jeff gives us his latest analysis on big wave rescue vests.